All right, wonderful. This is actually part two of our message from last week, and I took this message based out of Psalm 91, and it was, you should not be afraid of the terror by night. It's not really a statement saying, don't consider it. It just says, you shall not be afraid. You shall not be afraid. But for that to know, you've got to know what happens before it. So this is part two. So, and I've been saying this for some time, that one of the main weapons that the devil uses against us is fear. And we're literally being bombarded with fear. It doesn't matter where you are or where you're going in this world, fear is coming at you. And so I want to continue this fear. And I want to start by reading a couple of verses from Psalm 91. And we're going to start from verse 1, just a recap. And it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And the Amplified says, whose power no foe can withstand. So there's no enemy that can withstand what God's got. There's nothing that the enemy's got that can match up to what God's got. Not at all. So he might, the wildest thing that he can imagine is nothing to God. And so we have the confidence of this. And verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And that's basically saying, I will have faith in God. So we are to trust in, rely on, have faith in God. And everything in the kingdom of God, if you don't know this, I'm going to remind you, everything in the kingdom of God that's been made available for us is accessed by faith. It doesn't matter. Salvation is accessed by faith through grace. So you can't be saved without faith. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit without faith. You can't be healed without faith. You can't have an abundance without faith. Everything in the kingdom of God is accessed by faith. So if that's the case, we better get faith happening in our lives. If you want to be part of the kingdom, we have to get faith happening. And so for faith to be activated, it has to be conceived in the heart. It has to be conceived in the heart, formed by the tongue and spoken out of the mouth is creative power. So the word of God, which is faith, when it's conceived in your heart or your spirit, formed by the tongue and spoken out of the mouth, is creative power. If you meditate that, if you meditate how faith comes and how faith is activated, then you can get it. And so verse 3 says, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. And verse 5, and you shall not be afraid of the terror by night. When you do all that, when you trust and rely on God, when you know you're covered by the wings of God, when you're abiding in the shadow of the mighty, when you know all those things, when your faith is activated, it says, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night. No fear, no terror can come near you when you have these things. Nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. None of these things shall cause fear to come on you when you trust in and rely upon the Almighty. That's the key. If we're trusting in, reliant, knowing we're covered, knowing we're hidden in God, then none of these things shall come near you. None. So, and you might say, well, what is the terror by night? Well, the actual word terror means extreme fear, if you didn't know that. So it's an uncle of fear, because it's extreme fear. So terror or terrorism is extreme fear. And that's a focused attack by the enemy. So when the attack is coming to you, then there's extreme fear. And that's what terror is. And extreme fear by night refers to also bad dreams and nightmares. Because what comes at you at night? So a nightmare is a frightening or an unpleasant dream. So where does fear come from? Fear comes from hearing, and hearing for what Satan is saying. He comes at your thoughts. Thoughts that he injects like an arrow. Like an arrow. What do we do with these sort of thoughts? The word says that we take every thought captive. We take it captive first. We submit it to the word of God, and we say, that doesn't belong there. Let's cast it down. So there's no time in the Bible that says that these thoughts won't come. So thoughts will come, but we take them captive. We take the word of God and says, that no, that's not from the word of God. Let's cast that thought down. So that's the way that we do these things. And we know that everything related to fear, including its cousin worry, because worry is a cousin of fear. And it is a cousin of fear. It does not come from God. Right? So fear and worry doesn't come from God. So if you're worrying about something, that's not from God. It's from the enemy. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says this. I've got it up in the Amplified Bible. It says this. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear, but has given us a spirit of power and of love and a calm and well-balanced and mind and discipline and self-control. Also, we know that Satan is the author of fear, so fear comes from Satan. It really does. Fear comes from Satan. So if you're experiencing ongoing bad dreams and nightmares, then you need to go to the Word of God for the remedy for that. Because the Word of God's got the remedy for everything. It's got the answer for everything. So if there's something that is coming at you in the nighttime, go to the Word of God. And there's scriptures that we're going to share today, and it should be part of your preparation to go to sleep, so it can break the cycle of these bad dreams or these nightmares. So when you have these bad dreams and nightmares, there's a pattern. The enemy comes all the time the same way. So what do? We go to the Word of God. We meditate the Word of God. And these scriptures will actually have some advice in them as well. So let's have a look at a couple of scriptures. Proverbs 3 in verse 24. It says, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Now that's a promise from God, that your sleep will be sweet when you lie down. So if you're having a trouble sleeping, if you've got unbroken sleep, go to the Word of God before you go to bed. Meditate the Word before you go to bed. Now, this is interesting. This is from the Sydney Morning Herald on the 28th of July last year. And it says, a mountain of sleep research shows Australia is in the grip of a sleepless epidemic. The study finds sleep or lack of sleep affects our decision-making, our appetite for risk, ability to even identify when an ethical question is in front of us. A 2017 Deloitte Access Economics Health Study commissioned by the Sleep Foundation found inadequate sleep cost the Australian economy about $66 billion in 2016-17 year. Can you imagine how much that is? That's what sleep deprivation has cost the economy. It found that 39.8%, you could say 40%, of Australians don't get enough sleep. And the foundation made headlines when it called for a public health campaign similar to those around alcohol and smoking, and even called for tired drivers to be banned from the roads. This is the effect of sleep deprivation. According to the Centers for the Disease Control and Prevention, sleep disorders are so persuasive in the USA that they now constitute a public health epidemic. Research conducted by the CDC indicates that large numbers of Americans experience problems associated with lack of sleep, sufficient sleep. For example, 23.2% of the survey's respondents, almost 50 million people, reported problems concentrating during the day because of sleep deprivation in the US. 24 million. They said 11.3% or indicate, so that was 50 million, 11.3%, which is 24 million, indicated lack of sleep interfered with their driving ability. 18 million reported that sleep deficiency interfered with their job performance. That's in the US. So there's a real epidemic of sleep issues, all caused to what's happening in the mind. The enemy come with your thoughts, thoughts of fears, things like that, where they're woken up in the middle of the night with these issues. Here's another scripture for you. Psalm 127, verse 2. It says, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows." It's vain. The meaning of sorrows, if you didn't realize what it is a feeling of deep distress caused by loss, disappointment, or other misfortune suffered by oneself, especially in regards to toiling for your income or wages. Isn't that interesting? That's where sorrows come from. The misfortune, the disappointment, the loss, you know, of income from toiling. And it's known that probably around about 80% of the population have to still work from week to week with their wages. They can't go more than a week or two without an income. No wonder people are up late at night. Sorrows keep people up late at night, and then they have to get up early the next day because they've got to go out and try and earn and toil for that income. And the scripture then goes on to say, "For so he gives his beloved sleep." That's the promise. He gives his beloved sleep. So we have to release our faith to get our abundance and to stop worrying and being faithful. So here's some keys to wonderful sleep, and I want to show you a couple of scriptures. Psalm 63, verse 6. "When I remember you on my bed," here's a key. "When I remember you on my bed," so when you get on your bed, you remember the Lord. "I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice." See, when you go to bed meditating on the Lord, meditating on, then your rest is because you're under the shadow of his wings. Psalm 4 and verse 8, "I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." That's a promise from God. See, if we meditate the promises, then God goes to action. See, the reason why the enemy or Satan tries to attack us is in the night is because when we're asleep, we're not on guard. See, when you're asleep, you're not on guard. And we're not prepared. And it's the same reason why a thief will come in the nighttime. Because nobody's awake. Most people are sleeping, and they're not expecting the thief to come. So the Satan does the same thing. When you're not in a conscious state, he comes with thoughts to interrupt your sleep, to steal something from you. And this is what Matthew 24 and verse 43 says. I'm reading this in the English Standard Version. It says, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not let his house be broken into." If he would know, if he was prepared. And those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. And so we know that the Lord will prepare us. So it's interesting. So we need to be vigilant in our spirit, because when our body is sleeping, by faith, our spirit should be still working. I want you to understand that when our body is sleeping, our spirit should be still working. Most Christians don't understand that. You might be thinking this morning, well, my faith is too small to be sent out to do any great tasks like that. Well, and it's exactly the same problem the disciples faced. And the disciples said this to Jesus in Luke 17, verse 5. And his disciples said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." They saw the faith that Jesus had. They saw him doing miracles. And in Luke 17, Jesus had performed many, many miracles. He'd walked on the water. He'd raised the dead. And they said, "Increase our faith." So Jesus does something a little bit strange. He says, and the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed. Now, they all knew that the mustard seed was the smallest seed that was available. If you had a faith that small, you could say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Smallest faith. And which of you, having a servant plowing and tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down and eat? Will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he's done the things that were commanded of him? I think not. So likewise, when you have done all these things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. See, Jesus is trying to teach them, this is exactly the way that you have to treat your faith. You have to treat it, and this is the way you do it, and this is the way you deal with your faith confession. Do not allow your faith to rest. Don't allow your faith to rest. See, when we declare what you want, or when you declare what you want, you send your faith out to do the work. So when you speak something about something you're believing for, when you declare it out of your mouth, then your faith goes to work. You have to release your faith. Most people take on one little faith project at a time. There's no limit to how much seed. See, when the sower goes to seed, he doesn't take one little bit of seed and drop it in. Okay, I've sowed seed, I've taken that one drop of seed and I've dropped it in the ground. I'm going to wait till something happens. He waits a year, that one stalk grows up. No, he gets his seed and he scatters the seed. He sows it this way, he sows it that way, and he keeps sowing until he's sown the whole field. And that's what we do with our faith confession. We say, well, Lord, I'm calling in healing in this area. I'm calling in abundance there. And you keep sowing, keep sending your faith out, keep declaring those things. Every day, get the word of God and declare it, and you're sowing seed. You're sowing seed. And while you're resting and sleeping, your faith should be working, bringing into existence the thing that's not. If you believed it when you released it, the job for faith is to go out there. Don't ever allow your faith to rest. You have to treat it exactly like it was your lifelong servant. See, we don't understand what that servant mentality was like. Those servants were indentured to that master for life. That was their life. They were ownership of the master. In this case, your faith, you're in ownership of your faith. You are there to command it. That's why you've been given faith. Don't let it rest. Remember that faith is a spiritual force that's been given to you by God Himself for you to use. And don't do what the unfaithful servant did and got that and wrapped it in a hanky and hid it. And that's what happens to most Christians. They've got faith given to God, but they wrap it up. I've got my faith. And I'm going to wrap it up and I'm going to hide it away because that's my faith. It's only good when you use it. It's good for nothing without using. It's not there as a badge. It's something to be used and you can't lose it. It only increases with usage. What a great thing faith is. You're never going to run out of it. So as you use it, it increases. And it increases. And it increases. And then God says, what's the next thing you're going to do? What's the bigger area you're going to believe for? That's where you exercise your faith. And that's what the disciples say, increase our faith. You see, you don't need much, you just got to use it. If you say to the mulberry tree, the trouble is the disciples weren't saying anything. They were looking and they were awestruck at Jesus and saying, how could we do what he's doing? And he's saying, just a little bit, that's all you need. A little bit of faith. You know, example that Smith Wigglesworth, he really knew the devil's tactics. And by faith, he treated him exactly how he was, a defeated foe. So he treated the devil like a defeated foe because he was. And Smith declares this story as of an encounter that, for he and his wife that he had when they were asleep. So I'll read this to you. And this is in his words. "We were sleeping one night when the manifestation of evil filled the room and the spirit of fear gripped both of us. Polly," that's his wife, "was so frightened she could not open her eyes. I suddenly sat up in bed and I saw the devil. I rubbed my eyes to be sure that it was him and said, 'Oh, it's only you.' Then I turned to Polly and told her to go back to sleep. It was nothing of consequence, I said, and I laid my head down, back down again. Suddenly, an overwhelming sense of peace and love filled the room. It was the most blessed sleep we ever had." See, the enemy is defeated, but he comes with fear. And this is the place, it was a turning point for his ministry. And the enemy wanted to interrupt him and come personally into his room with all these evil presence. But it's just like slapping the enemy in the face when, you know, "Oh, it's only you." And tell Polly, "It's nothing of any consequence. You know, there's no fear. We are under the shadow of the Almighty. There's no evil can come near us. We shall not fear." This is the key. Now you'll see the delivering of power of God through chapters in Isaiah, chapters 42, 43, and 44. And I encourage you for homework to read these chapters without pausing, because they were never written in chapter and verse. They were added later on. So when the prophetic word was written, it was just written. And so the ones that translated it broke it up into chapter and verse so we could actually locate certain areas and find certain areas. But we miss the meaning when we read these chapters and stop at the end. So I'd encourage you, you know, at home this week, read these chapters out, 52, 53, and 54, without stopping. And but I want to look at a couple of scriptures in Isaiah 54, and we're going to start in verse 8. It says, "So with a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer." I want you to understand that God is your Redeemer. Satan is the thief. God redeems. He redeems. He buys back. He buys back. He redeems you. Then verse 11. "O you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with colored gems and lay your foundations with sapphires." Now, the definition of that word afflicted is a cause of persistent pain or distress, a mysterious affliction. It says, "O afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted." Sounds like somebody's getting afflicted at night time as well. So sickness and disease are satanic afflictions. He comes to afflict. And we know that Acts 10:38 confirms this. It says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil." Right? For God was with him. I think I might have said this last week. Many, many, many people are afflicted and oppressed by the devil. So don't go looking for what sin they've committed. And the same thing. Many, many people are afflicted with bad dreams and things. The Word of God will help you in all these areas. Because the enemy is going to keep coming because he does not want you to succeed. So don't go look for a great sin. You're just alive doing something that you've got potential to influence or to affect his kingdom. So he's going to come against you with sickness, disease, oppression, bad dreams to stop you releasing your faith. Don't think you're anything special. He'll do it to a baby. He'll cause harm to come upon a baby. Right now, they're murdering full-time children, that are born in the U.S. They're being murdered. They're being born wrapped up, and they're being genocided. And that's from the enemy. I can tell you now, the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He's going to do it to a baby, he'll certainly come at you. But if you know that you trust in, rely upon God, you will not be afraid. Now back to Isaiah 54 and verse 12. I'll make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and on your walls precious stone, and your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression. You shall not fear. And from terror it shall not come near you. Again, the Lord is telling us that this is what he wants to do for us. He wants, if you trust in him, the terror will not come near you. See, again, God promises us that we should be far from oppression and fear and from terror. And it shall not come near you. Did you know that fear actually activates death? Fear activates death. And death depends on fear. Death and fear are linked together the way that life depends on faith. And so Satan can't do anything apart from fear, the same way that God can't do anything apart from faith. God can't do anything for you unless you activate faith. Satan can't do anything from you unless you activate fear. See, these are connectors, and they either connect us to God or they connect us to Satan. These are what are called spiritual connectors. Spiritual connectors. Because God is a spirit. Satan, who's a fallen angel, is also a spirit. And you are a spirit. And the way you communicate God is by spirit and by truth. The way Satan comes is by spirit. So he comes into your spirit. It comes into you with a spiritual connector of fear. See, both of those are forces. Faith is a spiritual force. Fear is a spiritual force. So when you fear, when you feel fear, it's actually a spiritual force coming towards you. I can feel when faith is present as well. I know, I can sense when faith is, because it's a spiritual force coming alive in people. And so when the word is preached, faith grows and you can sense it. And Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:7, I'll read this again, says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and the sound mind. You could also say it this way. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. So we've been given three spiritual forces to combat the spirit of fear. So to combat the spirit of fear, we've been given the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. Three trumps one any day. So when the fear comes, you got to go back, I've got a spirit of power. The power I have is greater. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Greater, more powerful. I've got love. I'm walking in the love walk, so you can't see me anyway. Because I'm covered. Because I'm in the love walk. I've got a sound mind because I've got the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is in me. The mind of Christ. So what my mind is, it's greater than what you've got, the enemy. So every scheme that you've tried to get against me, no, the Holy Spirit gives me wisdom to overcome this. Hebrews 2 and verse 13 says this, and again, I'll put my trust in him, or my faith in him. And again, here I am, and the children whom God has given me, in as much then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shares in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So again, it confirms that the power of death has been destroyed. Jesus destroyed the power of death which Satan had in his possession, which he brought into the earth when he came with a curse. See, up until that time, before the curse, there was no death. Adam was designed to live forever, but the curse came in, and Satan brought the curse, sickness and disease, and death, and poverty. He brought that in, and so Jesus disarmed him. And verse 15, and released those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Who through the fear of death were subject to bondage. We've been released from the fear of death. Amen. We've been released from the fear of death and the bondage of death. We've been released. 2,000 years ago, we've been released from that bondage to the fear of death. And many Christians don't know and continue to suffer with the lie from the devil. They continue to suffer from the lie. They say, oh, my time's nearly up. I'm in my 70s. I'm not going to last too much longer. See, that's a fear of bondage of death. It has been appointed for once for man to die. Now, to clarify that, if you're alive when Jesus comes, you'll still die. It'll be in a twinkling of an eye, your body, your old body will die and you'll take on a new heavenly body. So everyone, their body has to die. So this will happen in a twinkling of an eye. So the ones who leave this body right now, who die right now, right? Basically, it's out of this old thing. You look back at that and you say, I'm glad I'm rid of that thing. It slowed me up for so many years. It's given me issues all these years. To make it worse, I got to bathe the thing so many times a day, and it doesn't last long without doing all this. I got to clothe it. I got to do all these things to it. Spend all that money on that thing, I'm free for at last. And the promise is that we'll be transformed in a twinkling of an eye. But the fear of death is broken. For a Christian, there's no sting in death. It's been taken away. And Romans 1 and verse 2 says this. Sorry, Romans 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. What is that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? But what is the law? Okay, to really understand this, I need to take a break here before I go on. And let's jump over to Romans 3 and verse 27. It's going to help us understand what this is. Where is boasting then? Is it excluded? By what law? Of works? No. By the law of faith. See, we're talking about the law of faith. And we could say this scripture back in Romans 8 this way. For the law of faith in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, the law of faith in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It's your faith in what Jesus has done has made you free from that law. Because he's conquered it. He's conquered death. He's done it for us. But everything has to be accessed by faith. So as we have faith or use the law of faith in Christ Jesus, it makes us free from that. So no longer should you be subject to fear of death or fear of anything, because fear is the root of the spirit of death. It's really rooted in death or fear. It's got its roots back into death or the fear of dying. Every time fear comes, no, I'm going to exercise the law of faith, which supersedes, it trumps that law. The law of death, it's trumped. It's covered. It's conquered. I would say it again. The word of God conceived in the heart or the spirit. The word of God that's conceived in your heart or the spirit, formed by the tongue and spoken out of the mouth, is creative power or the force of faith. Release the force of faith. It comes out of your spirit. See, it's formed in your spirit and it comes out of your mouth. That's the force of faith. If you want to change something in natural, you're going to have to release your faith. And you do that by declaring the word of God that you've been meditating on and calling things that are not as though they are. That's what it is. That's why I get you to do these things. And so we're going to do the faith confession again this week. So stand up with me. I want to get you exercising your dominion and your authority over all fear. And the only one I'm trying to help you to practically to do this. All right? So get up and get ready. And we're going to say this together. And 1, 2, 3. In the name of Jesus, I am a believer. I believe God's word. I am what the Word says I am. I have what the Word says I have. I can do what the Word says I can do. In Jesus' name, I render ineffective every negative word I've spoken, every negative thing I've thought, every word and thought that's been contrary to the truth of God's Word. From this moment forward, I will acknowledge only the good things that are in me in Christ Jesus. I'm saying it now. Out of the good treasure of my heart, only good things will come to pass. I am the righteousness of God, a new creation, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Jesus. I've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed from the curse of the law, redeemed from sickness and disease, poverty and death. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. Since the Great One dwells within me, I can overcome every situation. The faith of God resides in me, and through it I have the victory that overcomes the world. This is my year for breakthrough. It's my time now. I thank you, Father, that I can have all these things. I believe it in my heart. I've released it with my mouth. So be it. It will surely come to pass in Jesus' name. Amen. This is how you defeat the enemy. This is how you get all your stuff. This is how you release your faith. The same way, speak it out of your mouth. That's why I'm getting you to do it practically. I want you to get into the habit of getting the Word of God out, a confession out, and declaring it. When fear comes, speak the Word. Even better, speak it before the fear comes. Declare it before it comes. Declare it before the pain appears. Declare it before that. And when it does, you take that thing. Now, you're a liar, Satan. Pain, you're a liar. You've got no right to be on the body of the temple of the Holy Spirit. You have no right to be here, so get off in the name of Jesus. I'm under the shadow. In fact, you can't see me. And what you're doing, you're trying to put it upon Jesus because I'm his body. How dare you try to put pain on Jesus? He's covered that. He paid in full price for every pain, every sickness, every disease, every injury. Everything's been covered, and I just claim that right now. Satan, I want to tell you, you're defeated. You're defeated. And it's not going to be long before you're cast into the pit. And then after that, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire, so you better get ready for that. You're defeated. And start to laugh at him, start rejoicing at him. And he hates it when you laugh at him. His attempts to derail you. And the more you laugh, the more you rejoice in the Lord, he comes. See, when he came and tempted Jesus in the wilderness, he ran away to try and work out another way to come against him. He tried that front-on attack and it didn't work. So for 3 years, he tried every attempt to get him. He tried him on the water, but he spoke to the water. You know, he tried every way possible to get at him. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, that we have the victory that overcomes this world, even Christ Jesus. Lord, and you've done that for us, Lord. You've conquered, Lord, death itself. Lord, and right now, because you've done that, we simply just claim what that is. Lord, we determine that we're going to send our faith out each day, every day, to do, Lord, things for us, to go and get our things, to bring our healing in, to bring our abundance in. Right now, Lord, we are victorious in you. Lord, you want us to be overcomers. Lord, so right now we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We'll testify all the great things that you have done for us. You're a good God, and we remain in love, hidden in you. So nothing from the enemy can come near us. We shall not fear the terror by night. We shall not be afraid because we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Lord, we abide in your presence. We thank you, Lord. We abide in you. We love you, Lord, with our whole being. In the name of Jesus. Let's sing that song together in closing.